I move to extend by 5 minutes.
Okay.
Second.
Mom?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the problem is we're creating an atmosphere in which our fundamental relationship to management is adversarial, and we're never going to be successful that way. If our job, if our role is to establish goals, set priorities, and establish policies, we have to be able to do oversight with management. As long as I've been associated with Pacifica, there has been an attitude between management and governance that we're the enemy. And if we, in fact, make ourselves adversaries to management, they're not going to work with us on implementing goals and priorities. So I really think that to say it's okay to fundamentally adopt an adversarial posture to management is an extremely self-defeating way for us to behave, and I oppose it.
Madam Chair, I'd like to get on the stack. This is Nicole.
Grace.
Me?
As I heard, I'd like to get on the staff. This is Nicole.
I have you, Nicole. Grace?
Yes. Thank you for recognizing me. At KPFK, an unfortunate incident happened about, I don't know, 8 or so months ago, where a volunteer threatened another volunteer with physical violence, and it was caught on video camera at the entrance to the building. The volunteer was banned from the station based on the evidence of that video camera. Unfortunately, we live in a society, particularly in L.A. and other metropolitan areas, where we must protect the health and safety of our staff and volunteers. It's an unfortunate situation. I think that we need to grapple with this because surveillance is a fact of life, and surveillance where people are not notified. I think that at the workplace, written and verbal communications can be considered work product and therefore don't have the same legal protections that goings on in one's private life do. I think that this is something that we might need to have some more legal advice about, because if a staff member's email is open to be read by management, if phone calls at the station are because they're going through the station's phone lines, therefore the property of the station, are open to being listened into, just as email is, by management of the station, I don't see where the distinction lies. We can't have one policy for one situation that's really narrow and a separate policy for a separate situation. I just don't understand the distinction here.
I just wanted to respond to Nia. My understanding of California law is that if you're phoning into a speakerphone, regardless of the location of that speakerphone, you are already at risk of being recorded. So it doesn't matter whether you're phoning a private home, a private office, or a public payphone. If you're on a speakerphone, you have lost your confidentiality rights.
Jack on the stick.
Nicole.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not going to speak for or against this motion. I can't vote, and I don't make motions. I'm speaking as a worker. And a worker that's worked in nonprofits all my life, whether they're in the arts, whether they're in government, or whether they are in non-commercial broadcasting. And I've worked on sunshine laws, and I've also worked as a journalist. And I'd like to bring some journalistic ethics into this. We condemn those who record to get the story, get actualities, oftentimes have skewed stories. This is exactly the tactics that have been used in the last regime and many regimes since and before. I just have to speak as a worker that I suggest we just, I guess in the workplace at Pacifica, we just ought to turn on the stream and let everything be public. I don't understand those who work in workplaces. You have to know this is a national network, so we have to speak via speakerphone, unfortunately. It would be nice to have everybody under one roof. Maybe we could tear down the walls a little bit. But just the whole, I don't know, the whole atmosphere of this is very disturbing. So I'd like to know, just as a worker, how more transparent can people get? Should all our phone calls be recorded and put out there for everybody to hear? I'm willing to do it. Let's put HD translators in, and we can have two streams broadcast, all of staff all day. And, you know, I mean, I'm sorry. It's coming from you as a worker that I'd just like to know, what do you think are the negative approaches that we're coming from? Do you really think that staff is always acting against the principles of the foundation? I mean, I realize that may be part of what I'm inheriting, but I don't understand. The whole conversation tonight has been around issues around transparency, confidentiality, access, protections. That's disturbing to me. That's all I'm saying.
Bob?
Yeah, well, I think Nicole raises some important points, and I'm really troubled by the view expressed by some directors that because corporate standards that are used to abridge the rights of workers by having backward court rulings that say you have no privacy once you're working for an employer,
George Stack,
that we should embrace those standards and say, well, you know, because some right-wing courts have had some very bad rulings on this, we can't protect the rights of workers any more than the courts have allowed people to. So that's my first problem with it. And the second thing is, this is apples and oranges in any case, regardless of that question of the rights of a worker in the workplace. This is a question of ethics of board members. I mean, it seems to me it's elementary that if you're going to have a conversation with someone, and as one director said, you want to have a good record of it, and you don't believe that your note-taking is fast enough, then you simply have the ethics to say to the person, excuse me, I'd like to record this so I can have a record. Is that okay with you? And if you can't have the courage to say that, I don't think you deserve to continue to be on the board. I think it's a totally unethical behavior, and there's a reason that these laws were written, was because this is sort of a fundamental aspect of privacy, and that people have the right to know when they're being electronically recorded. So I just don't understand how this is such a difficult concept for people in Pacifica. It seems this is something we talk about all the time in the outside world, but when it comes to, you know, people's whatever interests in playing gotcha with certain staff members or management, then the standards change.
Jack, Madam Chair, we're at time.
Jack,
call the question.
Would like to ask that we record the votes of yes and no in the minutes.
I object to calling the question.
On this issue.
Second.
I object to calling the question.
Nobody called the question.
Takes 2/3 to call the question.
No, nobody called the question.
Yes.
The time was out.
Oh.
That's true.
That's right.
True.
Time is out.
To extend time, it will take 2/3 to do that.
It takes 2/3 to extend the time, too.
Right.
So.
Vote.
Could somebody. Okay.
Let's go to vote.
That's equivalent to calling the question.
No. I'm not hearing, George, I'm not hearing what you're saying.
What I'm saying is that to proceed from this point to a vote. Whichever way you want to do it, by extending time in order to allow for more discussion or to call the question. To call the question requires 2/3.
Point of order. Lisa, go ahead. It's my understanding that if we're at time, then we don't have to call the question.
That's right.
So then it wouldn't take 2/3 to because we're not calling the question, we're at time for the thing, so it would take 2/3 to extend time. But there's a difference between being running out of time and calling the question.
Thank you.
So we go to a
vote.
Okay.
Can we begin the roll, please?
Yes, I'm sorry. I was just
a point of information.
Listening to the discussion. Okay.
Point of order. Sherry, I just want your ruling on that because I didn't understand that is that a standing rule or what is that? that you get the vote when the time runs out. I thought you had to vote before the time ran out in order for that to be okay.
Madam Chair? Madam Chair?
Point of information, Madam Chair.
Wait a minute. Bob, would you give me an opinion on that, please?
Sure. The way I understand Robert's rules, the way it's, and definitely for the last 3 years I've been on this board, the practice has always been that when the board has set a time limit for an agenda item and that time limit has expired, then if there's a motion on the floor, it goes to an immediate vote. Now, the only way to avoid that is if someone makes a motion to extend, it's seconded, and then it gets two-thirds, then you don't go to the vote. But there's been so far no such motion. So then you go to the immediate vote.
That's right.
So could we have the roll, please?
A point of information. I had asked that that these votes be recorded for the minutes. Is that going to happen?
I would imagine so. Mary is going to take the minutes from the stream, so right. If we can go to the vote, then she will hear people's name call and what their response is.
Okay. Here
we have the roll, please.
Okay. Thank you. Grace Aaron.
Point of information.
Yes.
So we are voting on the entire motion at this
yes.
point, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Grace Aaron.
No.
Nia Bediako.
Yes.
Evelyn Bethune.
No.
A.C. Bird.
Pass.
Lisa Davis.
Yes.
Sherry Gentleman. Yes. Ambrose Lane. Ambrose. Okay. Bob Lederer.
Yes.
Sarv Randhawa.
Yes.
George Ryder.
No.
Rob Robinson.
Yes.
Wendy.
Abstain.
Bonnie Simmons.
Yes.
Jack Van Aken.
Yes.
Joe Anzala.
No.
Yosh Yamanaka.
No.
Okay. So it's...
AC passed.
I'm sorry, AC.
Yes.
Okay, AC is yes, and I think Ambrose is not with us, so okay.
Nine yes, five no, one abstention.
Thanks, Rob. You're a faster counter than I am. The motion passes. Okay.
We return the chair, the floor to the chair.
Thank you. Okay. We're almost done with this agenda, and it's 8 o'clock. So where are we, actually? I think we're done. Oh, no.
Working group.
We have one item left, and it's only 10 minutes. We're going to be well under 3 hours. And I think we've only created seven lawsuits with everything that we've passed tonight. So, okay. Item number five. May we have the report? Oh, thank you, Afia, very much. May we have the report from the working group?
Sure, Madam Chair. As the convener, I will start the report, and of course, Bob. And if Mary were here, then she would be welcome to jump in as well. Due to scheduling problems, we were not able to meet. Well, we scheduled our meeting for this coming Sunday, so clearly we have not met as a group yet. Let me back up. Bob astutely pointed out that we should be cognizant of the past history of a similar amendment or a similar move last year. And so I contacted a prior PNB member who is still an LSB member at KPFK, Dave Adelman. Adelson. And
Goldstein.
And Dave gave us some interesting history, and we will be taking that up with Dave and Mary and Bob on Sunday. In the meantime, I had drafted two separate amendments for consideration by our working group, which I can circulate now, because basically Dave pointed out that, you know, this kind of thing should probably come up from the grassroots, namely at the LSB level, and proceed up to the PNB rather than vice versa. So I'm making a plea that, you know, we have at least one director from each signal area to take up this cause and bring it up at their local LSB meeting as a motion, and probably each signal area will have a slightly different motion if it does pass, and then have those come to the PNB and for our discussion and proceed that way.
Point of information?
Sure.
For the purposes of the stream and also for some directors who have horrible memories, could you please just say why the working group was constituted?
This is a follow-up to our last meeting, which happened last week, where we considered eliminating one of the four in-person meetings, and due to, you know, cost-cutting measures, trying to save $70,000 to $80,000, and after about a one-hour discussion, it was decided to table this motion, I believe, because of the possibility or likelihood of a lawsuit if we were to proceed down that path. And so it was suggested that we form a working group to kind of vet this question and bring this back to the full board for further consideration. Is that enough background?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Need a refresher.
Bob, do you have anything to add at this point? I can circulate the two that I had circulated to the working group earlier.
No, I don't particularly have anything to add. I think that's a good summary. And I do think we should learn the lesson from several failed board-initiated, or I should say PNB-initiated bylaws amendments have failed in the last 2 years. And I think the lesson is that the more we get input and buy-in at the local level first, the less likely it will be that we'll go through all of this hard work and, you know, lots of hours of debate only for something to fail. So, you know, I think, you know, the mechanics of exactly in what order and how to do it, I think we can talk about more on Sunday. But the general principle that major as opposed to technical changes to the bylaws should have thorough discussion at the LSB level before the PNB votes on them, I think that's a good principle.
So I think before we wrap up this discussion, I'm going to ask for a volunteer from each signal area to maybe carry the ball forward at the LSB level. Bob, would you be willing at BAI?
Sure.
And can we have someone from DSB? Any takers?
I think I heard Rob say he wanted to do it.
Rob?
I told you about taking them drugs, Sherry.
Yeah. Sherry, your hearing is quite acute.
And Rob, the meeting is a lot better on this drug.
Please, share.
Yeah, I'd be happy to help you, Gosh.
Okay, terrific. Thank you, Rob. And someone from Texas?
Yeah, I'll do it. This is George.
George, great. And Berkeley?
I'll do it.
Oh,
Sherry.
Oh,
Joe, go ahead. No, Joe.
Okay. Joe? Okay. And if no one else from KPFK will, then I will, unless Jack or Grace.
Or Margaret. She's not here.
Yeah, Margaret's not here to volunteer. So. Anyway, we'll work out the KPFK. So I will circulate two that I've drafted, and clearly sometime after Sunday we will have at least a third or a fourth possible language for your consideration to take to, you know, either to modify or take as, you know, as we've sent out to your LSBs and see if you can't get the LSB to hop on the bandwagon.
Okay.
Could I just add one more thing? We will be consulting with Dan Siegel with whatever language we come up with to, you know, get his legal opinion so that we can try to avoid that kind of, you know, problem, legal problems, and to see if there is if there are legal ways we can find to deal with this, to suspend the June meeting this year without violating the bylaws. And I think there are ways to do that that are perfectly proper and legal. That's all of those things we'll explore on Sunday. So certainly if anyone has any feedback before Sunday based on reading those drafts that Yosh is about to send, we'd be very interested in that. So please feel free to, you know, to send it to those of us on the working group.
Okay. So
sorry, Sherry, one last question. So should I send this to PNB-2008@Pacifica? Is that the proper one?
I think the proper one is just pnb@pacifica.org, because that way also
pnb@pacifica.org.
The ED and the CFO get it,
right,
too.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Good enough. I'll send it out right this instant.
Okay. So now, folks.
Motion to adjourn.
Oh, I. Great.
Second.
Okay. So everybody, have a great Friday night.
Can I ask a question? This is sort of breaking from a procedure, but I mean, I guess other people can hang up. But I know some current events were going on. Just I know if Sia was in D.C. if she wants to talk about that.
Okay.
But maybe we could hang up.
Everybody can continue the conversation. I'm going.
Sherry, I need to call. Can I call you for a hot second at the?
Have a great night, guys.
Yeah. Rob, call me on my cell.
Yeah.